From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgartz.
Welcome in to another edition of the Sports Q on WJJQ. You know what I noticed tonight? It's not dark. It's not fully dark when I go on the air at 5:30 on a Wednesday night. It is not fully dark, and I think that means we are making progress when it comes to getting towards springtime. We are indeed in February. It is the first ever Sports Q program in February because we started this show in March of last year. So welcome, and you know, this is big. This is history for you. This is history for me. First Sports Q in February, and it is not all the way dark out. Sure, you have to use your lights when you're driving around right now. Well, you should always use your lights, I guess. But you have to use your lights when you're driving around right now. But also, it's not fully dark. I mean, I can still see blue in the sky. So that means sunset's getting later. And springtime is eventually going to get here. I know it is 6 degrees out, so it really doesn't feel like spring. But the good news is it is coming, and the sun is setting later. We are gaining daylight by the day, and that is great news. And what else is great news is I've got an hour and a half to talk Wisconsin and local sports with you here tonight on WJJQ, and I'm looking forward to doing so. Remember, you can always feel free to follow me for previews of the show or my thoughts on sports during the week on Twitter at HunterBOnAir, on Instagram at HunterBOnAir, and on the Hunter Baumgartz Sports Facebook page, which we are live on right now. You can actually watch the show on that right now if you just search Hunter Baumgartz Sports on Facebook, and Baumgartz spelled B-A-U-M-G-A-R-D-T. So, there you have it. Let's preview the show quickly. Coming up at 6:05, excited to talk to Bill Schmid. He has joined me on the show before, I think once, maybe twice before. He's from 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. He's going to join me at about 6:05 to talk a myriad of things. Packers, we're going to dip into baseball. Baseball is in this freeze right now. Baseball is in this lockout, and it's starting to really threaten spring training. I mean, pitchers and catchers are supposed to report to spring training in like 2 weeks, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to delay spring training probably. And so we'll get into that with Bill a little bit because he's a big baseball guy. I'm a big baseball guy, so we'll get into what could happen with baseball coming up. Also, we will talk to, at about 6:25, really excited to talk to Mitchell Speltz. He covers the Wisconsin Badgers for ESPN Lacrosse, and he is, I'm sure, excited for this big game tonight for the Wisconsin Badgers as they face the Illinois Fighting Illini in a battle for first place in the Big Ten. That tips off at 8 o'clock tonight in Illinois. So we'll get a full preview from Mitchell, a guy who covers the team. Looking forward to that at about 6:25. And 6:40, we'll do our local sports check with Melissa Neiman, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet boys swimming team, as they get set for the GNC meet on Friday. We'll learn all about that. They're hosting the GNC meet on Friday, so we'll get all the details about that. So plenty to get to tonight. We will definitely, you know, cover all our bases tonight. Different Wisconsin sports. I know we've been a lot of Packers over the Packers season, and now that the Packers season is over, we are going to get into obviously some other sports, but also we're still going to talk a little Packers because in the state, the Packers reign supreme. I mean, that's just how it is. That's just how it is. And if you have any thoughts on anything we talk about tonight, the phone number is wide open, 715-453-4481, the phone number, 715-453-4481 is the number to call. So let's start with those Green Bay Packers because there's a lot of question marks coming out of this season, especially when it ends in a divisional round loss. Now, last week we spent a lot of time breaking down all angles of the loss to San Francisco, right? What went wrong so the Packers lost to San Francisco, right? What went wrong in the game? What went wrong beforehand? Coaching, the playing, all that. We're not going to dive into what happened in that specific game. However, what we're going to talk about does tie into it a little bit. But I think it's really important to think about the future. And coming up in our next segment, about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the future of Aaron Rodgers, what some players have said, a report that came out today. We'll get into all of that in about 15 minutes with Aaron Rodgers specifically. But I want to talk about the special teams unit of the Green Bay Packers first. And the Green Bay Packers are going to have a new special teams coach in 2022, special teams coordinator, whatever you want to call it. Maurice Drayton was fired earlier this week after just 1 year as the Packers special teams coach. And Drayton spent three seasons with the Packers, and the Packers are going to have a new special teams coach for the third time under Matt LaFleur. So this will be going into Matt LaFleur's fourth year, and it'll be the third new special teams coach. The Green Bay Packers special teams were ranked 31st in the NFL this season. 31st in the NFL. How many teams are there in the NFL? 32. It was bad. Very, very bad. Now, Maurice Drayton served as the Packers assistant special teams coach from 2018 to 2020. And so his seasons were, and effectively spent three seasons with the Packers, or four seasons. It would have been four seasons, right? I got to make sure I'm right on that because I got to make sure I'm right on that because what I'm reading says three, but then I thought it was four. So let's quickly go to the Packers. Yeah, 2018 to 2020. Yeah, he spent four seasons with the Packers. Okay. I had to double check, but I wanted to make sure I'm giving you the right information here at WJJQ. Okay, Maurice Drayton served as the Packers' assistant special teams coach from 2018 to 2020. He served that same role with the Colts during the 2016 and 17 seasons. So this is the guy that was let go by the Packers. So he had been around special teams for a long time. And the reason, of course, Maurice Drayton was fired was because they were second to last in the league in special teams, and also it cost them a playoff game against the San Francisco 49ers. So obviously, they needed a change at special teams, and that's what they did. They fired the special teams coach for the Green Bay Packers. Now, what you're saying maybe, what is special teams? Special teams has anything to do with kicking, punting, returning kicks, returning punts. It's all, you know, it's not offense, it's not defense, it's kicking and punting. The return side of that, and the kicking side of that. So that's what special teams is, just for context of this conversation. So he's been around, Maurice Drayton had been around special teams for a long time, so this wasn't a bad promotion by LaFleur in the sense that Drayton had experience with special teams. He was a special teams assistant for 5 years. But where the problem lies is that Matt LaFleur, when filling this position last offseason, promoted from within. The previous special teams coordinator was Sean Menenga. He was the coordinator the first year under LaFleur in 2019 and then in 2020 before he got let go after last year's playoff loss. And who was an assistant under Menenga? Maurice Drayton. So Maurice Drayton got promoted to special teams coordinator when Menenga was let go. And you might be thinking, okay, well, that's not too bad, right? He knows the organization. He knows the team. LaFleur likes him. But look at the rankings that the Packers had under coach Sean Menenga on special teams with Maurice Drayton as an assistant on the staff. The Packers finished 29th out of 32 teams in 2020 in special teams. So 2 years ago, they finished 29th out of 32 teams. And then in 2019, they finished 26th out of 32 teams in 2019. So what makes you think promoting a guy that contributed to that was going to make you improve? I think we should have been a little more worried when this promotion was made last year because we should have seen this coming. They finished in the bottom seven the last 2 years. You know, right? 2019 and 2020, they finished in the bottom seven in special teams. And then they promote a guy that was a part of that staff only to finish worse than those 2 years, 2019 and 2020, and then they ranked 31st this past year. So they ranked 29th and then 26th in 2020 and 2019, and then they are even worse this year when they promote Mr. Maurice Drayton. And one more warning sign that we might have missed was he was part of the Ron Zook special teams unit in 2018 as an assistant. So they were dead last in 2018, 32nd in 2018. Zook was the coordinator from 2015 to 2018, and guess what? They were dead last at 32nd in 2018, if I have my years correct, which I think I do. I mean, that's what I've Green Bay Packers in 2018, so I would assume that he was on that Ron Zook staff. And they were dead last in 2018 as well. So the fact that Drayton was part of a 32nd, 26th, and 29th ranked unit of special teams before being promoted to special teams coordinator in 2021 is a bit mind-boggling. So needless to say, Matt LaFleur must go out of the organization to hire the new special teams coordinator. I think part of it, too, was he liked Drayton as a person. And to be honest, watching him at press conferences and what people said about him, he seemed like a great guy. So, and I never want anyone fired who are good human beings, but it was most definitely the time after the unit, the special teams unit, struggled all year long. So maybe that likability that got him that promotion and LaFleur, knowing him from that last couple years, he decided to promote from within. And that's great on the outset, great to be likable and all that, but obviously he was part of some bad special teams units in Green Bay. I mean, bottom half, not even bottom half, bottom quarter of the league in special teams. And then they promote from within, and they promote Drayton, and this is what you get. An awful special teams unit this year that ranked 31st and cost you a playoff game. With, obviously, the offense did as well. And, you know, there were some other things that Rodgers and the offense could have done. But if you don't have the blocked field goal and you don't have the blocked punt, the Packers are probably playing in the NFC title game. Now, a possible candidate to replace Maurice Drayton could be Rich Bisaccia. And he's a longtime special teams coach who recently led the Raiders to the playoffs as interim head coach. Yeah, remember, the Raiders were in the playoffs. They lost to the eventual AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals. And Rich Bisaccia was actually their head coach. He was promoted from special teams coach to head coach when John Gruden had to resign. Slash fired, whatever you want to call that. So Bisaccia also won a Super Bowl ring as the Buccaneers special teams coach during the 2002 season. So he's been a special teams coach for a long time. I would love that hire. Not only is he a good special teams guy, but people raved about him in Las Vegas. And they actually wanted him to get the Raiders head coaching job. A lot of the players there wanted him to get the head coaching job for the Las Vegas Raiders. But he did not get that, as Mr. Josh McDaniels got that. So because this unit for the Packers, especially if Rodgers is gone and can't mask the problems anymore, needs to be of focus. And even if Rodgers comes back, it clearly needs to be a focus of this offseason because it costs the team a Super Bowl run. The Packers have had this problem for many years. Packers have finished 20th or worse in special teams in 7 of the past 9 seasons, including 32nd 3 times. 9 seasons, you finished dead last 3 times. Yikes. They haven't finished in the top 10 in special teams since 2007. So I hope LaFleur puts time into this hire. I hope he doesn't promote from within, which I don't think he will, knowing how bad they were this year. And not only how bad, but it cost them a playoff game. And in years past, it was just, you know, it's a bad unit, right? But it didn't cost them a playoff game last year. It didn't cost them a playoff game in 2019, right? 2019, the defense couldn't stop any part of the 49ers run game in that loss, right? Special teams didn't cost them last year in 2020 when the offense couldn't take advantage of some interceptions and it wasn't, you know, big special teams gaffes that hurt them in that Buccaneers game. Special teams really hadn't cost them in the playoffs probably since 2014 in that NFC championship game against Seattle when Brandon Bostic muffed that onside kick. But guess what happened after that game? Sean Slocum, the then special teams coordinator, was let go. So now it costs the team again and the coordinator is gone. So hire outside the organization and not only make a good hire, but LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, and the whole organization needs to put more emphasis on the special teams. Throwing a rookie out there to return kicks and punts at Amari Rodgers this year, who clearly didn't look comfortable doing so, wasn't a good idea. The injury of Kylin Hill, who got hurt in that Arizona game, hurt them because beforehand, he was helpful in the return game. Right? I mean, he was actually quite helpful. They put him back there, but he got hurt. And so maybe this year signed someone who's actually specialized in returning kicks or punts. They signed David Moore late in the year to do exactly that, return kicks, return punts, whatever. But they didn't even use him in the playoffs. So not only is this special teams unit hurting when it comes to players, when it comes to coaches, and we can't just look at the obvious special teams, because when you think of special teams, you think of returning punts, returning kicks, kicking, you know, kicking field goals, kicking off, punts. But remember, the special teams issues aren't just on the, you know, those specific kick returners, punt returners, kickers, punters. It is on the blocking scheme too, right? There were two clear mistakes on the block field goal and the block punt in that playoff game against the 49ers. Tyler Lancaster wasn't set up correctly before the snap on the block field goal, got run over basically, you know, turnstile, basically watched a guy go by, block field goal. Long snapper, Wirtle, shouldn't have been blocking the guy that rolled right over him to block the punt. It's a full-scale problem on special teams. And if you're going to fire the coordinator, you need to elevate the play of the unit next year to reflect that. Because ultimately, this falls on head coach Matt LaFleur. He basically turned a blind eye to the issue all season and even said in a production meeting with Fox before the game that he hopes special teams doesn't mess it up for them in the playoffs. I mean, come on. You admit that, but you don't make any changes during the season? It came back to bite him. It came back to bite him. So that's just some perspective on the special teams of the Green Bay Packers and how bad it's been in Green Bay. Not just one coordinator, but a long stretch of bad special teams play has been going on in Green Bay. And I think it's time for a not only a coordinator change, because they've went through coordinators, right? I told you they've been 20th or worse in special teams 7 of the last 9 seasons, and they've rifled through some special teams coordinators. It's not just who they bring in, although who they bring in is going to be big. But it's also taking a organizational look, right? Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, sitting down and saying, okay, who can we put on special teams that is going to make sure we don't have these mistakes? Because I think Mason Crosby is going to retire. Maybe he comes back one more year, but he is a guy who had a shaky start to this season, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's done with the Green Bay Packers and done in football. Shaky start to the season. Kind of got back on track, but especially if Rodgers is gone or Devontae is gone or both, I don't see Mason Crosby coming back. So if you have a new kicker and a new coordinator, you're going to have to build pieces around them to make that unit successful. And that's exactly what they need to do. So we shall see what happens with special teams. Obviously, it cost them in that game against the 49ers. Was it the only reason they lost? No. Should the Packers have been able to score more than 10 points? Absolutely. But it was a big reason why they lost and a big thing that they need to address this offseason. That's my thoughts on the Packers special teams. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to discuss Rodgers' future. David Bakhtiari, one of his best friends on the team, offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, he talked on the Pat McAfee show the other day all about Rodgers' future, maybe what he's heard, what he thinks. We'll hear from David Bakhtiari on the way. Also, Jared Stillman, who hosts on the game in Nashville, sports radio station there, said he's hearing from sources some things on Rodgers. How much of it can we trust? We'll talk about that next, right here on SportsQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the SportsQ on WJJQ.
Let Carrier provide quiet and efficient heating all winter with innovative solutions for premium comfort and available at Hilgi's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. And you can learn all the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilgi's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilgi's, for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit hilgis.com. Carrier. Turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Billy Bob's also has their daily specials on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, plus the Friday fish fry. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, featuring happy hour Monday through Friday from 2 until 5. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. Call 453-4984. That's 453-4984, Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter. We talk Wisconsin and local sports 5:30 until 7 each Wednesday night here on WJJQ. And tonight, no different. If you miss any part of the show ever, you can always find it at WJJQ.com under the Audio Center. We have all the past Sports Q programs there, and we'll post this one tomorrow morning. So you can go ahead and listen back to any part of the show that you missed. So definitely do that if you are so inclined and miss any part of the show and you're like, oh, I wish I would have heard that. You can go and listen to as much or as little of you want as it of it as you want. There you go. Listen to as much or as little of it as you want. There you go. Because you can just click on it and fast forward, rewind, whatever you want to do. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, Bill Schmidt going to join me from 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee, host and producer there. Looking forward to talking to Bill all about different Wisconsin sports. We'll talk a lot of Packers, but also talk some baseball and discuss what's going on with baseball, because we're not in a good spot when it comes to baseball right now. It seems like that spring training is going to be pushed back. And just not start on time. Who knows about the start of the regular season? And that's all because of the players and the owners not being able to come to an agreement as far as the collective bargaining agreement. And unfortunately, they're in a lockout right now. So we shall see what happens. And obviously, as deadlines approach, as spring training approaches, as the regular season approaches, there's going to be more deadlines for baseball, and they're going to want to get, players on the field and people in the seats. So it's not like we're going to miss a whole season, no doubt about it. We're not going to have as big of a delay as like COVID, but it comes on the heels of COVID. So like we had that COVID shortened season for baseball in 2020, right, where we had 60 games. It started in late July. And for a while there, the players and the owners couldn't agree on how to just have a season. And that, that put a bad taste in baseball fans' mouths. And so now what you have is you have this happening basically again just a year and a half later, right? Almost 2 years later. And that's still fresh in our minds. And so if you have another shortened season, baseball can't afford to do that. You just can't. As where baseball is, right now anyway, it's got to morph into it's just got to morph into a more modern game. And right now that's not what's happening with baseball. And so missing any spring training, missing any part of the regular season, that is not going to be good for baseball. So you need to, nobody's listening of them, but if they were, I'd say, Let's get it going. So we'll discuss that with Bill Schmidt. Coming up at 6:25, we'll preview Badgers and Fighting Illini tonight. Big Badger game in Illinois as the Badgers and Illinois fight for the number one at the top of the Big Ten. Both teams are 8-2 in the conference. Looking forward to that one. So we'll preview that one with Mitchell Speltz. He's going to join me, Wisconsin Badgers basketball reporter, at 6:25. And we'll also talk to Melissa Nieben, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet Boys swimming team, at 6:40. First, though, I want to get into a little bit of Aaron Rodgers' future, because I think that's obviously the biggest question that's looming over 1265 Lombardi as we head into this offseason. What is Aaron Rodgers going to do? David Bakhtiari, longtime offensive lineman for the Packers and great friend of Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has raved about him, for a long time. David Bakhtiari, unfortunately, missed almost every part of this season. Missed all but one game with that ACL injury this year. He had missed the playoffs last year. David Bakhtiari joined the Pat McAfee show this week, I think it was yesterday, and talked about the future of Aaron Rodgers. This is what he had to say about what he thinks Rodgers might do as being a close friend of his.
I mean, he's pretty much one of my best friends when I play football and also outside. I would love to have him around. It would suck not seeing him every day. I mean, I've worked with him for about 9 years now. I'd love to go on a decade. I don't really know where he'd be. I agree with you. I can't see him retiring. He's too competitive, even though he does say that, there's that possibility. I can't fathom it. But then again, I mean, I don't think we all could have fathomed Tom Brady retiring, and here we are.
It's interesting, the comparison, since Tom Brady retired this week, and he retired and then he unretired, and then Tuesday he actually retired, and that was wild. That was wild. You know, reported on Saturday, and then Tuesday he actually posted, you know, that he's retiring, blah, blah, blah. It's rare in sports, and I think it's hard. You know, David Bakhtiari really explained that well there, because it's hard to picture a guy or a woman, a guy or a gal in sports retiring when they're at, like, peak level of their game. Or not necessarily peak, but it's still playing at an extremely high level. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is. I mean, I don't know. I haven't done the research about how many players have won the MVP award and then retired. Right? Because, sure, some guys have won the Super Bowl and then retired. Right? Some people win championships and then retire. World Series, you know, retire. That's different. Because that's a team, you know, your team could go win. Right? Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl. That was because of his defense in Denver. Rode off into the sunset. There's guys that do that. But that is mostly because of the team that they're on. But it's rare that you win an individual award like the MVP and then are retiring. And so that's what Rodgers would do. I mean, it's expected that Rodgers gets the MVP this weekend as they announce the NFL honors. Or is it this weekend or next weekend? I can't remember if it's this weekend or next weekend. It might be next weekend. I can't remember. But either way, when they award the MVP, it's expected that Aaron Rodgers is going to get it. So Aaron Rodgers would then retire after being named the most valuable player in the league. I mean, that is rare. That is not something you see often. So I think that's why David Bakhtiari, it's hard for him to wrap his head around. And now the thing is there's going to be a lot of sources that come out to say different things about Aaron Rodgers and what's going to happen. Is he going to play for the Packers? Does he want to go elsewhere? Is he going to retire? David Bakhtiari says, when listening to reports and whatnot, just remember that Rodgers and everything he says is very calculated. Take a listen.
I will say one thing about him is he's extremely calculated. I think that's why I always laugh when I see reports and stuff come out. Like, they're trying to be the first person to say what he was thinking. This is a guy who, like, he's always almost prided himself on this, like, monk-type philosophy of he's going to, he'd rather, you know, double his amount of listening over than just, like, talking too much. He wants to really make sure and calculate exactly what he's going to say or his action that he's going to do. So I don't think he's just, like, he takes a lot of time before he makes really his decisions. He's very calculated. So that's why when I hear these things come out kind of out of left field, I'm like, I mean, that's just such... I don't even want to use the words.
Yeah, so it's, you know, when things do come out of left field, I can imagine, and he said in another part of the interview that they just laugh. They sit back and they just laugh at some of the reports that come out. They, you know, saying that their friends of Rodgers are saying this or sources are saying this because it's just so not true. And I can imagine if you're constantly being reported on and a bunch of this stuff just isn't true, like, what? It must be just comical for you to sit back and just watch all these people report things that are completely not true. I mean, that it probably gets annoying at some point, and we've seen Rodgers be upset at that. But it's also just comical. And he said, you know, him and Rodgers have just sat back and laughed at some of this. So this leads me right into Jared Stillman, host at the game in Nashville. He came out with a report today that he had sources on. And this is what he said. This is Jared Stillman, a radio host in Nashville, a sports radio host that apparently has some sources. And this is what he said about Aaron Rodgers today.
According to multiple sources, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is building a home in Franklin. The second thing, a source tells me Rodgers would be, quote, open to joining the Titans. That's all I was told. Open to joining the Titans, and a talk to another source in which at least some of Rodgers' current Green Bay Packer teammates think there is no way Rodgers is going back to Green Bay.
Green Bay is what he said at the end there. I don't know, right? There were reports upon reports. I mean, listen, last year on the NFL draft day, it was basically Rodgers was headed to Denver. I mean, that was basically the consensus. Rodgers headed to Denver, it's done. And he's getting traded. It's all but a done deal. I mean, there were reports that were saying that, verified, you know, sources that were saying that that were just wrong. So I think we have to take every single report that we're going to see for the next month before Rodgers announces this or whatever he does. It might be the end of February, whenever it happens to be. I think that's probably the earliest it is the end of February. It could come out any day, but I think that's when, and he's going to want to do it on his own terms. We have to take everything with a grain of salt. So I think they take that report with a grain of salt. Sure, he'd be open to Tennessee. Makes sense. There's some teammates that think he's not coming back. I don't know about that, right? I don't know. I think everybody wants him back, so I don't know why you'd necessarily express that you don't think he's coming back as a player, but who knows? And he's building a home in Tennessee. I mean, that's great. He can retire there. I mean, whatever. So I don't think this changes it for me. I think he either retires or comes back to the Packers. I think he comes back to the Packers. You're listening to WJJQ Tomahawk. It's time for CBS News.
A major winter snowstorm.
2,000 miles from the Rockies to northern New England.
U.S. troops heading to Europe.
This is not troops that will go into Ukraine.
Relaunching the Cancer Moonshot.
We know we can change its trajectory.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A familiar sound in the Midwest. A snow and ice storm stretches from New Mexico to New England. Many areas of the Midwest have several inches of snow, and it's still coming down. This sledder in Kansas City, Missouri loves it.
I usually go on my stomach because it gets me faster because I'm aerodynamic.
KTVT-TV's Jason Allen in Fort Worth reports Texans are also under weather alerts.
Temperatures are expected to be below freezing across much of the country, including here in Texas, nearly a year after a catastrophic freeze caused massive power outages.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the state is much better prepared than it was for last year's storm.
Texas has about 15% more power generation capacity than we did last year.
The hazardous conditions are expected to stick around through the end of the week.
The U.S. is adding 3,000 troops to its existing contingent in Eastern Europe as Russian troops remain along Ukraine's border. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president says the troops are a response to Russia's posture.
We're going to make sure we reassure our NATO allies in Eastern Europe that we're there in Article 5 as a sacred obligation.
It's the mutual defense pledge in Article 5 that leads the president's critics, including Missouri GOP Senator Josh Hawley, to suggest that Ukraine should not be allowed to join the NATO alliance. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki rejects that.
If you are digesting Russian misinformation and parroting Russian propaganda, you may be on the wrong side of this issue.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
President Biden says he's relaunching the Cancer Moonshot Initiative with a goal to cut cancer death rates in this country in half over the next 25 years.
It's bold, it's ambitious, but it's completely doable.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus worked with Mr. Biden on the cancer initiative during the Obama administration.
The details, which are yet to emerge, and the funding, which really isn't clear yet, are going to be key to making this as impactful as it could be.
The White House is preparing for possible approval of a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for children under five. COVID response coordinator Jeff Zients.
Importantly, this vaccine is specifically formulated for kids under the age of five. So we're working closely with states, local health departments, pediatricians, families, doctors, and pharmacies to ensure the vaccine is available at thousands of locations nationwide.
On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 224 points. The Nasdaq jumped 72. Now this.
There's always something new under the sun. CBS Mornings, weekdays on CBS.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The Dad Joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have anybody to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Former President Trump and some of his allies are being sued, CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman's lawsuit names Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and some other top Trump aides, accusing them of witness intimidation and retaliation. The lieutenant colonel was a prominent witness at the first Trump impeachment trial, testifying about the phone call between the former president and the president of Ukraine. The 72-page lawsuit mentions the former president many times, but the former president is not a named defendant.
CNN President Jeff Zucker resigns after failing to disclose a romantic relationship with a colleague. CNN's Brian Stelter.
Zucker has been a larger-than-life figure at this news organization for nearly a decade, a pioneering figure, and now his resignation is stunning this newsroom and the news industry.
Thousands gathered in Baltimore to mourn the loss of three firefighters who died last week when they became trapped inside a burning vacant row house that partially collapsed. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, some high-level clouds and chilly with a low at 11 below zero. Wind chill advisory for midnight through 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs in the upper single digits, north wind between 5 and 10. Increasing clouds late Thursday night, low at 14 below zero. Friday, cloudy with some light snow showers in the late morning to afternoon. There might be a half inch or so with a high of 13. Saturday, partly cloudy, high 23, turning breezy. Snow showers possible late Saturday night and early Sunday. Peaks of sun the rest of Sunday, high 22. Monday, partly sunny with highs in the low 20s. It could be closer to 30 on Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
It is 5 degrees in Tomahawk.
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgart.
Hopefully you're staying warm on this chilly Wednesday evening in February. We've got, as I mentioned, temperature of 5, so hopefully you're staying warm, and we'll keep you company for the next hour here, the Sports Q. Then Michael McGovern is back at 7 o'clock. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, we'll talk to Mitchell Spelt, Wisconsin Badgers basketball reporter, about the big game tonight. Badgers facing the Illinois Fighting Illini. Winner gets tops of the Big Ten. We'll talk to Mitchell in about 20 minutes. But first, let's go out to the WJJQ hotline after I tell you that at 6:40 coming up, we're going to talk to Melissa Neiman, Tomahawk Hatchet's boys swimming coach. So stick around for that as well. But first, let's go out to the WJJQ hotline for our first guest. Joining me here tonight on the Sports Q, excited to welcome back to the program, Bill Schmid, host and producer at 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Schmid Radio. And Bill, really excited to have you back on tonight. How are you?
Hunter, always appreciate it, man. I was hoping that when we would reconvene, we'd be talking about plans for Lipstick City and Super Bowl 56. But now we get a crazy offseason to talk about. What's going on?
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. I was hoping this was the year. I mean, to me, it was Super Bowl or bust, and it was The Last Dance. It was all of that, and then it came to a screeching halt in the divisional round of the playoffs at home in the snow. What do you make of this playoff, you know, this early playoff exit for the Packers now that we're about a week and a half removed from it?
Well, I'll start with Packer fans because that's the one, obviously, that, you know, we resonate the best with. You and I both. I was there in section 107 just screaming my head off on that Saturday night. And throughout the first 55 minutes, survive in advance was the only thing that you could think of. And when Steven Wartell is getting pushed down, like, in theory, almost some older listeners will understand this because there used to be towel bins in high school. And every once in a while, there would be a young lad that would probably get thrown into one of them towel bins, and they would slide all the way down the hallway. That was Steven Wartell into the end zone and getting blocked into the punt. And when that ball starts spinning at the four-yard line, Hunter, a lot of things kind of flashed before your eyes. It was one of the most stunned I've ever been as a Packer fan after a loss. I think 2014 was the most frustrating and disappointing. This one, I was just shocked. I was just stunned. There was not a chance in my mind, not a theory that had gone through the week that they were going to lose that football game 13-10. It just hadn't entered my cranium. And then once you allow the next, you know, 2 hours to kind of settle in, what you hear from Aaron Rodgers, what you hear from Matt LaFleur, the next day I thought, or 2 days later, I thought it was really impactful for Matt LaFleur to be unwavering in their statement that it's not only Matt, it's Brian, it's Russ Ball, it's Mark Murphy. Every single person in that building wants to see Aaron Rodgers back, because it did not appear, you know, a year ago that that was the conversation at all. It did still feel like there was a little bit of fracture in that. Now, the kind of MVP season Rodgers had this year is so different than the other ones he's had. But I think what it did leave amongst and amidst all the controversy and, you know, coverage that Aaron brought upon himself with a lot of the conversations that he got himself into, I thought the organization went, you know, out of their way at a couple of different points where they could have thrown a little bit of shade, stood by 12. And I think that kind of trust is really, really big. And I think that's where these last couple of weeks, at least in my head, it's shifted to how do you retool instead of where does the rebuild start? Because that's where it kind of felt like we were headed for.
It did feel like that. And to be honest, you know, sitting there after that game, it kind of felt like that might be the road that they were going to take. And Rodgers said, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild after the game. And you're thinking, well, that's probably where this organization is headed, given the salary cap and all of that. But it sounds like they're pretty, you know, adamant. LaFleur was in the last couple of press conferences that they don't want it to be a rebuild. They want it to be where they're going to retool, bring Rodgers back, and let's try this again. Obviously, Davante Adams is another big part of this whole, you know, this whole picture of the Green Bay Packers and what they could be in 2022. Now, you know, part of that, and I wanted to ask you, you know, this was Last Dance. This was, to me, one of the most Super Bowl or bust seasons that I've seen in my lifetime, just because of everything in question in the future, plus the salary cap situation and where they're going to be and how they have to pay players, etc. Did this feel like, you know, since they didn't win the Super Bowl this year and especially getting bounced the divisional round, that it might be a while before this team, even if Rodgers comes back, just because of how many players could leave, it might be a while before this team could legitimately win the Super Bowl?
Very much so. And then I watched the next couple of games in the NFL, and we just watched the team go from having two seasons ago to winning the Super Bowl, or going to the Super Bowl. It's just a remarkable turnaround.
That's true.
Of what you've seen in Cincinnati. And I think it does open the conversation again to the ability to go from worst to first in the National Football League. I mean, we've seen Jim Harbaugh's name get thrown around a lot here over the last couple of weeks. People forget how bad that Niner team and how much it underperformed before Harbaugh went there and took them to, you know, back-to-back NFC title games. There's an ability to go from worst to first in the NFL, unlike other sports. But to your point, when walking out of Lambeau that night and hearing a lot of people, you know, you're in my age, walking out screaming, oh, well, that's it. That's done. Yeah. It's over. There was a sense of finality to it that I think we all kind of anticipated would come, obviously, at a much later date, hopefully February 14th, when you're waking up with a Super Bowl championship hangover. Instead, you know, it's a divisional round, dismal disappointment, and you're sitting here as frustrated as ever. I will say this, and this is where I've kind of softened on the feel and on the story of where does Rodgers go? How does that turn the rest of your decisions around come free agency? I was a staunch, you cannot get away and out of the Aaron Rodgers business. Now, you go to three straight trips to the NFC playoffs, two of which are the number one seed and you can't get to the Super Bowl. At some point, you do have to do something different. I don't believe that's changed the quarterback, gut the entire franchise, and, you know, let's win with defense, as you see. That really works out very well for a lot of teams, because latest I've seen, not many teams are winning the Super Bowl simply because of their defense. That's the Seattle Seahawks at 13 and the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 50. It's another different game. It's another different era. You got to be able to put points on the board, and we saw what this offense looks like led by Jordan Love in the middle of the season on short notice in Kansas City. The Adams piece, I do still believe that if Rodgers is back, and it all hinges upon what Aaron wants to do and for how long he wants to do this for, I think the team has come to the realization that we can move money around. And teams have done it. The Kansas City Chiefs are in a different boat because of Patrick Mahomes' contract a couple of years ago. There was a feeling that they were going to be completely blown up. Last I checked, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Patrick, all were still there. Mm-hmm. You can move the money around and defer it and take penalties in different spots. They're going to have to get really, really creative if they want to. But even if, in Devontae Adams' case in particular, because he is a topic, you know, 1B with Rodgers because he's the best at his position, if I'm Brian Gutekunst and my, you know, long-term success and legacy is going to be predicated upon what Aaron Rodgers' second chapter, where that goes, and I'm going to be tied to that and also tied to Jordan Love, I'd like to give him the most dangerous weapon in football. So I do still see pathways for all of these ultimate outcomes, right? Of Devontae is back and Jordan Love's your starting quarterback. Both Aaron and Devontae are back, but the defense is very, very different. And for the first time in the entire 2021 sphere as we got into 2022, walking out there after the divisional round, I could see a path where it would be a completely reshapen team with both of those two headliners gone, and the last dance really does take shape. But I do believe that we're trending towards a reunion more than a split.
I think so, too. And I think just the last, you know, week and a half after that loss did that, you know, like you said, I think after the next 24 hours really felt like it was, you know, rebuild time. I think even a lot of Packers fans were like, and there's still a really big contingent of Packers fans that are like, all right, we're done. Just get to another quarterback. Now, I don't understand that because I don't really want to watch Rodgers on another team. I think I can accept it a little more now than I could last year when all these rumors were swirling. But I still think, and it's obvious, the Green Bay Packers have a better chance to be successful under Aaron Rodgers. Now, have they gotten back to the Super Bowl in 10 years? No. But like you said, I don't necessarily think it's the quarterback that needs to be changed. Bill Schmidt joining us here on the Sports Cue for a few more minutes. He is host and producer at 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. We'll get to a baseball question here in a minute. Who's your Super Bowl pick? Bengals and Rams. Who would have thought this at the beginning of the year?
Well, listen, I don't generally do this, Hunter, but I got a cheer to be right. And your boy tossed a lot on Matthew Stafford going to Los Angeles. I openly mock people who have been covering the National Football League for like 40 years, Peter King, one of the best to do it in our industry. I'm like, I don't know what Peter King watched for 12 years in Detroit that believed Matthew Stafford was going to walk into any organization and go win the MVP and win the Super Bowl, right? So I had a lot against Matthew Stafford, a lot of chips stacked up against it, and instead of a red or a black, we got a 00, and now he's sitting in the Super Bowl. So personally, for my prognostications, I would kind of hope that it's a Bengals victory, and somehow Joe Burrow is about to do this in his second year in the NFL, which is a remarkable turn. That being said, I don't know how they're slowing down that pass rush that the Rams have right now. Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, come on, that's not fair when you're talking about the team that gave up 52 regular season sacks this year in the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that pass rush and the lack of offensive line help for the Bengals is going to kind of show itself more and more in this game. And I do like the Rams. I don't love laying the 4.5, but I think ultimately that's where this hard-earned check is ultimately going to go towards in that game.
Well, you know what? It's when you look at these two, it is wild, the stories. Obviously, like you said, Burrow, second year, and then you've got Matthew Stafford, first year with the Rams, boom, Super Bowl. It is wild. It really is.
There's two other ones here, Hunter, that you know, I know people are going to just have pounded into submission in the 17 hours of pregame coverage that they're going to do live from SoFi Stadium, which the NFL Network, if they haven't told you yet, is across the street from now. You sit here with two times in the NFL's history of the Super Bowl, two quarterbacks are playing who are drafted number one overall in their drafts. The only other time it's happened was Super Bowl 50 with Cam Newton and Peyton Manning. That one, there was a changing of teams. This one, there's a changing of teams with Stafford and Burrow. And it's the first Super Bowl in which both head coaches are under 40 years old. That one, I think, changes coming up here sooner rather than later. You're going to see a lot more of that because it is a young man's game. And Zach Taylor and Sean McVay are two of the better ones right now and the hotter names doing it.
No doubt about it. And yeah, when you have, you know, coaches like Shanahan, LaFleur, and all these guys still under 40, it's remarkable what these guys have been able to do. And those are, wow, some interesting things there when you think about this matchup and how rare it really is in the grand scheme of things. Bill Schmidt joining us here on the Sports Q. All right, I want to switch quickly to baseball before I let you go. Obviously, there's really been nothing going on with baseball the last month and a half. You know, usually we maybe have a January trade. Of course, Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain originally came to the Brewers in January, but nothing been going on because everybody's locked out and we can't even see their faces on MLB.com, and they're honoring 75 years ago, you know, a chair being put in a stadium. But I really hope we can see the faces soon on the website, because that means baseball's around the corner. How concerned are you that we're going to have a shortened MLB season, you know, shortened spring training? I think maybe might be inevitable at this point, but we're February 2nd and it doesn't seem like a deal is close.
No, and from what I've kind of gathered, it sounds like February 16th is a little bit of a initial benchmark day. That's when most pitchers and catchers were supposed to be reporting in a regular calendar, prorated out from opening day being March 31st. Listen, Hunter, I'm not educated enough in mathematics and economics to break down every Super 2 number that needs to be settled. All I know is, There needs to be a change in the competitive balance in the game amongst teams that are not trying to actively win, right? Like that is a clear problem in the game, and I hope that the sacrifice we have of some games and probably some spring training shots of Maryvale Baseball Park, or excuse me, American Family Fields of Phoenix, that we're going to miss out of, right, on March 1st. I hope that brings some of the changes to Major League Baseball that we all need to see. We need to see teams that are all playing and paying a salary floor number of like $70 million, so you don't have the Baltimore Orioles having a salary cap of like $31 million. Mm-hmm. That can't happen. And same deal, I do think that at some point, you can only listen to players being frustrated about their payment schedules when I'm still seeing guys sign. I saw Corey Seager sign for $310 million right before the lockout came. Bryce Harper's $340 million deal still rings in your ears. No one's going broke in this deal, except right now the fans. Banks full of entertainment is a little bit low, because we're waiting on when this is going to happen. I would be honest with you, Hunter. I think we see opening day in the month of April, I should say. But I do think we get pushed back a little bit. I think the regular season is impacted. That being said, we're talking about millionaires and billionaires arguing about millions and millions of dollars. I don't believe they're canceling any games. They're going to figure out a way to get people into those gates for 162. They'll just, I think, be a little bit creative about it near the last hour.
That's a good point. And I think it's unfortunate because we just went through this 2 years ago in 2020 with COVID. It was this battle between them, and it kept getting pushed back.
And that one, Hunter, is even more frustrating, because it was arguably the most tone-deaf conversation that a professional sports league has ever had in the midst of the pandemic. This one, people are regaining some of their livelihood. Small business owners are finally getting back, up underneath themselves. And now we're here battling over, revenue splitting of $70 million for one club. It's a little bit difficult to listen to when you know the amount of economic struggles that are going around elsewhere. So hopefully they figure it all out and ultimately we're watching baseball sooner rather than later at American Family Field, because our Brewers, man, have a nice outfit coming back here again. This is a very, very important year. A Cy Young winner coming back. Can Christian Yelich figure out where to stand in the batter's box to hit a little bit above 240? He was looking like Pete Wheeler from Backyard Baseball there for a little while, walking up.
That's a great reference.
holding the barrel of the bat instead of the handle. I'm excited, man. We need to get him on the field for it.
Yes, Ernie Johnson. Who else? I'm trying to think of some other names off the Pablo Sanchez. Yep.
But I don't know, you're finding someone like him.
No doubt about it, Bill. Appreciate it. And man, yeah, baseball, we need that. But that's the sign of spring. I feel like we're not going to get out of this cold weather unless baseball happens. So I feel like our winter is hingent upon these owners and players getting on the same page.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They're making Punxsutawney Phil come out and decide when winter's over. No, let's have the MLBPA and Major League Baseball owners tell us when it is and when we're going to spring training.
Exactly. Bill, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk again soon.
Always fun, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Bill Schmid from 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. He's a host and producer there. Great conversation. Really fun with him. Appreciate his time tonight. All right, when we return, we're previewing Badgers basketball. They got a big game against Illinois tonight. We'll talk to Badgers basketball reporter Mitchell Speltz next on the Sports Q.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
Bremen Merrill Ford will make your next vehicle buying experience easier than you think. How? Let's start with the obvious. Bremen Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all pre-owned trucks and SUVs. In addition to the best price, Bremen Merrill Ford has the best selection of vehicles. Plenty of late model trucks and SUVs to choose from. Also, in their region, Bremen Merrill Ford has been consistently ranked first in overall Ford sales experience and sales satisfaction. Ranking first because of their commitment to make everyone's vehicle buying experience easy and enjoyable. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Bremen Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South, Merrill. Online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
Tomahawk Pharmacy is providing COVID tests with a dedicated on-site laboratory manager and no appointment necessary. Test types include rapid antigen, rapid PCR, and free PCR send-out tests. Please visit their website at tomahawkpharmacy.com for more information about costs, turnaround times, and times and directions to come to the pharmacy for testing. Please visit their website or call 453-6600 with questions.
If you're single, a young couple just starting out, or an empty nester, regular size loaves of bread just may be too much of a good thing. Now, thanks to Village Hearth Half Loaves, you can have just the right amount of fresh, delicious bread for toast and your favorite sandwiches. Village Hearth Half Loaves come in 5 flavorful varieties, including Dakota Style 12 Grain, Honey Wheat, and Premium White. You're sure to find the one that's just right. Village Hearth Half Loaves, the perfect size for one or two.
John J. Shuney Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes design studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuney Construction of Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter. We're talking Wisconsin and local sports all the way until 7 o'clock here tonight. Melissa Neiman, Tomahawk Hatchet's boys swimming coach, going to join me here in about 15 minutes to discuss the GNC meet that they have coming up on Friday in Tomahawk. We'll discuss that in a bit. But tonight, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has a big game in Illinois. It's the top two teams in the Big Ten battle for first place. Wisconsin ranked 11th, Illinois ranked 18th. And to talk all about it is Badgers basketball reporter for ESPN Lacrosse, Mitchell Speltz, joining me here on the WJJQ hotline. Mitchell, appreciate the time tonight. Are you excited for this one?
Yeah, Hunter, this will be a big one for sure. Illinois has had the upper hand on Wisconsin as of late, but the Badgers have surprised a lot of people, I think, are certainly pumped up for this one. A lot on the line, of course, a lot of national attention on it. And you got two high-profile Naismith finalists in Johnny Davis and Kobe Coburn going at it. So it should be a good one tonight, no doubt.
No doubt about it. And, you know, it's interesting. It is a big game between 11th-ranked Wisconsin and 18th-ranked Illinois. Are you surprised it's on Big Ten Network? I feel like this one would have been an ESPN one.
You know, you think that too. But I think Wednesday night, I think, is an NBA night.
Oh, yeah.
If I have that correctly. So maybe FS1, something like that, but I feel like some of these games are predetermined. So BTN probably didn't expect, I don't think, Wisconsin to be playing for first place against Illinois on February 2nd. So that could be part of it as well. But you know what? I think BTN's got a good group of broadcasters. They'll broadcast the game well. You'd like the more exposure, of course. But that's just what it is. And I think, you know, it's something you'll live with. But I think it's still a good platform for these teams.
No doubt about it. If you're looking to watch it tonight, Big Ten Network at 8 o'clock. And you mentioned, you know, surprising that Wisconsin is at this point in the season battling for the top spot in the Big Ten in the beginning of February. This team 17-3, number 11 in the country. How surprised are you that we are at this point in the season and they've got this record, they've got this ranking, considering how young this team is?
I'm pretty surprised. I mean, the last time we spoke, I thought, you know what, if they finished up as a number 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, you know, it's a good season for this team. We didn't know what they were going to be this year, and I think a lot of people have stepped up this year. I mean, Johnny Davis is, of course, the big story, but, I mean, Brad Davison's having the best year of his career, especially shooting the ball. Tyler Wallace playing like an all-conference caliber player, and Chucky Hepburn and Stephen Crowell have elevated their games in a significant way. I mean, I think when you look at their starting lineup, only Purdue is the one I think you can argue maybe is better 1-5. Otherwise, Wisconsin's right there amongst some other teams, Illinois in that mix as well. But I think the way Greg Gard's coached this team up, they've developed, I think, quicker than anticipated. I mean, Gard knew back in June and July, he said it a lot, that he knew this team was going to be special this year. He knew Johnny was going to take a jump, and he knew he had something in these younger players that I think was going to shine. And we saw that early on when they won the Maui Invitational in Las Vegas. So I think to the outside perspective, I think a lot of us are surprised they're in this position right now. But to Greg Gard and this program, not at all. They are certainly where they are on par with where they thought they'd be. They think they can win a Big Ten title, a national championship. They're right in that mix, and I think so far they've proven that.
And they're a fun team to watch, no doubt about it. Obviously, you mentioned Johnny Davis there, and he's been so impressive this season. And, you know, as someone who follows this team day by day, game by game, just how much has Johnny Davis improved this season compared to last season in your eyes?
Well, pretty significantly. And I think his confidence, obviously, starting way back in the summer when he played with the under-9 team in Latvia, obviously, was the big thing for him. But his confidence and his competitiveness, the way Greg Gard phrases it, is probably what has helped him take that big competitive jump. I mean, Johnny's already he's always known he's had it in him, considering some of the competition he's faced in years past, going back to high school and some of the top competition he's played, knowing, you know what, I'm just as good as this player. Now he's really showing it. Last year was just a weird year with all the seniors and whatnot, but Johnny's a very good individual player, but he's also very much about the team. I think he very much knows how to get the most out of his guys. He doesn't normally come across, I think, Hunter, as a vocal leader. I think sometimes you listen to him after games, and I think sometimes this can be a little bit of a one-liner kind of guy for the press and the media and whatnot. But I think from within, Johnny Davis is a very good leader. I think he leads by example in a big way in practice, in the locker room, on the court. He does it in a lot of ways, and I think that's really helped him take a step up amongst other factors this year. But I don't think anybody thought we'd be talking about him as the National Player of the Year with a month and a half left in the regular season, but here he is. He's a special player. The NBA is certainly within his mindset right now. He's pretty much looking like a lottery pick at this juncture. So I think a lot of reasons have helped him take this big step, but I think there's also a lot of things that people haven't seen about him that has also helped him improve as a leader on and off the court.
And, of course, Davis has gotten a lot of the attention, and rightfully so. But what are a couple of other players that are also playing really well, but they may not be getting the spotlight right now?
I think Tyler Wall is the big one. I mean, obviously, I think people know how good Brad Davison has been, especially as of late, just broke the three-point record. But Tyler Wall, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the Big Ten, no doubt. He's playing like an all-conference caliber guy. If the season ended right now, he'd be a top-three teamer right now. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. But he is their best back-to-the-basket player that this team has. And he reminds me a lot, Hunter, and I'll stick with me on this one, a lot of Ethan Happ at that position. The way he is so crafty around the goal, when you get his back to the basket, get him on the block, he just has some sort of craftiness about him, about the way he can score, just find a way to maneuver. He's kind of deceptive in that fashion. He's not Ethan Happ totally in his game, but I think the way he can score down low and find a way to manipulate defenders, use his body, get leverage on them, that's a big part of his game. And his defense has always been there. Very good steals artist. He's long. He's never afraid to take on the top oppositional player. And we saw that a few times. I think last game against the Gophers is certainly a good example of it, going against some of the guards that they had off switches. They were certainly okay with that. So I think he would be number one. And I think Stephen Crowell has gone under the radar a little bit too. I mean, I could talk Chucky Hepburn as well. But I want to bring up Crowell because he has taken a significant jump over the past month. In December, I was worried about him. After the Nicholls State game in particular, he did not play very well. He barely played in the second half of that game, and that was a game Wisconsin almost lost without Johnny Davis. And I was worried going into Big Ten play, okay, how is he going to do against the Purdue bigs? How is he going to do against Kofi Coburn, who he's facing tonight? But he has gotten a lot stronger, I think kind of mentally he's gotten stronger. I mean, he's not going to get physically stronger overnight. Greg Gard said that after the last game. But I think his toughness has improved significantly, where he knows he can battle with some of these guys. He's not going to be better than some of them, like tonight, but he knows he can compete with them, make life difficult, and be a pretty good player at that five position, the guy Wisconsin needs from that position right now. And I think he has taken a noticeable jump in season, where he's helped this team a lot.
Yeah, so it's not only Johnny Davis, but also got a supporting cast around them that has really stepped up and led them to that 17-3 mark. Mitchell Speltz joining us here, Wisconsin Badgers basketball reporter for ESPN Lacrosse, and we're talking Wisconsin Badgers basketball. They're getting set for a big game tonight against Illinois, 8 o'clock tip-off in Champaign. And let's focus on that game, Mitchell. You know, give us a little bit of the basics of this matchup as we look ahead to tonight's game at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you look at the Illinois Fighting Illini. This is a team that is athletic. They're strong. Of course, they've got a big man that's pretty much college basketball's version of Shaq and Kofi Coburn. It's been a bit of a weird season for Kofi. Of course, he has the big numbers this year. Missed the start of the year, was suspended the first three games due to national or name, image, and likeness, I should say. He was profiting before it was legal. So He missed the first three games, and then he missed a game against Maryland with a concussion. However, and then they ended up losing that game by 20, but then they beat Michigan State most recently last week without him or Andre Curbelo, who was out due to COVID protocols. He is back tonight. It's been an even odder season for Curbelo. He was amongst one of my immediate top breakout players of the season, but he's only played, I believe, six games, had a pretty significant concussion back in November, and he came back from it in early January, and now he's coming back from COVID. He will come off the bench tonight, I am told, for Illinois. He will play a significant amount, though. And he's kind of the distributor of what's a very good outside-in offense. Kofi, obviously, the centerpiece in the middle. But they've got great shooters on the outside. Trent Frazier, I think, is one of the most underrated point guards or guards overall in the country. He can shoot it. He can defend. He sets teams up, teammates up very well. He's a really key player to this. And Alfonso Plummer, the transfer from Utah, is maybe the best three-point shooter in the Big Ten. I think, Pierre, if you put him in a three-point shooting contest, I might take Plummer to win it all. He's that good. And he's been a big transfer this team got this coming season. So they're very good outside and in. They've been a little inconsistent at time, I think, especially defensively. They are prone to turning the basketball over. And we'll see if Wisconsin can take advantage of that, because they're a team themselves that does not turn it over. The Badgers are playing faster this year, but still they're playing at a very good pace. They're very disciplined offensively. And I think if they can slow down Illinois a little bit and frustrate them, make them one and done on offense, which is a tough thing to do with Coburn lurking around the rim. They can do that. I think they can certainly get the game script in their favor.
Yeah, what are some, you know, specific matchups to watch when it comes to, whether it comes to players or, you know, it was three-point shooting on one of the teams? What is something, a couple of matchups maybe to watch tonight?
So the two I'm paying attention to most, Hunter, is number one, how Wisconsin goes up against Kofi Coburn. Stephen Crowell is obviously going to start, but Chris Vogt, who's only playing about 8 minutes on average the last 2-3 weeks, hasn't been factored in all that much. I would expect him to play a much larger role tonight going up against him, because you're going to need that big body against Coburn. And foul trouble could certainly be in the equation tonight, but it's all about keeping Coburn away, pushing him away as far away from the basket as you can. He's not a three-point shooter, so he's going to live in the paint. But if he buries you underneath the basket, he's going to turn around and dunk on you, and it's over. But you have to find a way to push him away from the block a little bit and make him work a little harder offensively. Good offensive players are always going to get theirs, but if you make them work harder, it'll wear on them over the course of a game. Stephen Crowell and Chris Vogt, I should say, have to be able to be physical, give Smart fouls. They both fouled out when they first Purdue, which I think was expected. But at the end of the day, that's a good foul out, in my opinion, because they didn't waste the fouls. They were using it to get positioning on those guys, and it worked out for them. So they're going to have to do that. The other one is Demonte Williams against Johnny Davis. So Demonte Williams is not much of an offensive guy, but he's what they call a glue guy, which I think is some of the most undervalued players in college basketball. He only averages 3 a game, but he rebounds. He's very strong. He's athletic. And he's going to probably have the main responsibilities against Johnny tonight. And he's probably going to do his best to frustrate him. That's going to be his main responsibility. He'll shoot the occasional three. But we've seen Johnny Davis, maybe from a scoring perspective, not produce as much as he's averaging. I still thought, even though he scored just 16 against Minnesota on Sunday, that was one of his better games of the season, the way he still produced in other ways and came up with baskets when he needed them. But that's going to be a matchup tonight to watch. If Illinois can guard Johnny with Demonte without helping too much, that could really help them in their other areas of the floor defensively. So those are the two big matchups tonight for Wisconsin I'm paying attention to.
Sounds good. He is Mitchell Speltz, Badgers basketball reporter. Find him on Twitter at Mitchell Speltz. Last question for you, Mitchell. A couple of keys to Wisconsin getting a victory tonight over Illinois. Oh, did we lose him?
Yeah, right here, Hunter. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, no problem. A couple of keys to a UW win.
Yeah, so I think most importantly, I think Wisconsin has to do their best to avoid early foul trouble, especially with their bigs. If you get in a conundrum with Kofi getting you in foul trouble early, that could be an issue. But if they're able to turn around and get Kofi in foul trouble, that's been Illinois has been a little vulnerable this year when Kofi's had to go on the bench. Now, they do have some good bigs that can come off the bench, but obviously they are not Kofi Coburn. I think most importantly for Wisconsin, if you're able to keep Kofi from dominating, I mean, again, he's going to probably get his at some point in this game, but if you're able to make life somewhat difficult on him and you don't need to overhelp, you can stay back and not give up as much three-point shooting, and that's something that Illinois will feast on. And for Wisconsin, it's all about finding a way to be efficient on offense. If you find a way for Illinois to speed you up faster than they want to play and get their transition game going, it's going to be difficult for Wisconsin to set their defense. That's something that Greg Gard stresses a lot when they're at their best defensively, when they're doing what they need to do on offense, playing through the post, working clock, getting a good shot. When they force things up, that's when teams run on them and force good shots for them on the other side. I think Michigan State was a perfect example of that, is that the fact that Wisconsin missed so many shots earlier, they were forcing shots, Johnny Davis in particular. Michigan State was just able to run on him, push him down the floor, and it didn't end very well, of course. So if Wisconsin's just able to stay disciplined, stick to their roots offensively, and not let Illinois get into them early, I do think Wisconsin has a chance to control tempo, play a little bit more half-court style against Illinois, and I think that would do well for him tonight. But overall, it's going to be a really good game. Illinois, of course, is favored, I think, rightfully so. But Wisconsin's 8-1 in road games this year, so I think they certainly have a shot if they're able to establish themselves early.
Yeah, it's tough to go on the road in any conference, especially the Big Ten. So it'll be a tough test for Wisconsin, but great test for them to see where they are as far as the Big Ten and the top of that Big Ten. Can't wait for the game. 8 o'clock tonight, televised on the Big Ten Network. Mitchell, really appreciate the time tonight and enjoy the game.
Anytime, Hunter. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. That is Mitchell Speltz, Wisconsin Badgers basketball reporter for ESPN Lacrosse. And follow him on Twitter at Mitchell Speltz. I'm sure he'll do a great job, you know, reporting on tonight's game and writing an article after the game. And also, of course, bringing you his insight throughout the game as well. Badgers and Illinois tonight. If we have time here at the end of the show, I'll dig in a little more to the game. Coming up next, though, we'll switch gears, talk local sports. Tomahawk Hatchet's boys swimming coach, Melissa Neiman, joins me next on WJJQ.
What does Hunter have queued up next in the sports queue? Find out in moments on WJJQ.
In the Northwoods, it doesn't matter what time of year it is, we're cooking out. Right now, Tomahawk Ace is introducing the newly designed Weber Genesis Grill. Extra large prep and serve side table. Weber's crafted 9mm solid stainless steel cooking grates, 13,000 BTU sear station, and a whole lot more. It's specially priced at just $9.69 this month at Tomahawk Ace Hardware. And get a Weber crafted Genesis frame kit free.
An eye on the future with a small town gaze, working hard every day to earn your praise, leading the Northwoods forward. Tomahawk Community Bank.
Our local businesses work hard to bring great products and services to all of us. Hi, this is Audrey from Tomahawk Community Bank, Merrill Community Bank, our local branch location. Buying locally impacts the whole community, and our local businesses need our support, and we need theirs. Value, friendly service, and local ownership bring quality and satisfaction to all of us. Besides convenience, you are also doing business with people you know and trust, and who have more in common with you than you might think. Each local purchase has a ripple effect to other local businesses and households. From all of us at Tomahawk Community Bank and Merrill Community Bank, we invite you to keep it local. It's a great investment.
Leading the Northwoods forward, Tomahawk Community Bank.
Yes, it's February. Yes, we have snow and cold, but now is the time to plan for that new swimming pool the family's been talking about, available at the Pool People. The Pool People now offering 15% off all in-stock swimming pools. Stop in, check out the selection, and save 15% off on the in-stock pools. The Pool People also has a very nice selection of spas to choose from. Right now, you can save an additional 10% off the base price of your favorite spa. For more family fun, the Pool People is also offering 20% off all in-stock billiard and shuffleboard tables. So this year, complete that dream of your backyard pool with 15% off the in-stock selection of pools, 10% off the base price on spas in stock, and your favorite billiard and shuffleboard tables, 20% off the in-stock selection this month. Browse online at poolpeople.com or stop by the location near you, Rhinelander, Schofield, and Stevens Point, for the Pool People. It's been a cold Northwoods winter. How's your furnace holding up? Might be a good time to call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner, and they offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing your furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter today and for many years to come. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 and online go to premierheatingcooling.com or call 453-4700.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter, talking Wisconsin and local sports up until 7 o'clock here tonight. I am your host, and we do this every Wednesday evening. So if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to the Sports Q. And you can find past Sports Q programs on our website, WJJQ.com. And that is under the Audio Center there. All right, time now to talk local sports and head back out to the WJJQ hotline. Joining me here tonight on the Sports Q, excited to welcome back to the program Melissa Neiman, the head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchets boys swimming team, as they get set for the Great Northern Conference meet coming up on Friday, and they get to host it this year, so we'll get into that a bit as well. Melissa, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, no problem at all, and looking forward to discussing the meet on Friday as you guys get to host it this year, so that's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Exactly, and that's great. So we'll get into that in a moment. First, let's look back. Last couple of weeks, how have the last couple of weeks gone for the team?
Hey, the team is doing really well. We're still dropping time, which for as far as long we are in the season, I'm still happy to see that. The guys are getting tired, I can see, but next week we go into taper. And what that is we keep up the intensity of our workouts, but we lower the yardage and give more rest. So they are so ready for that.
And do you do that as you go into the postseason for a specific reason?
So what it does is just kind of slows them down a bit and gives their muscles a little bit of a break. And you do see some substantial time drops from a good taper. Some teams do a taper from anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, but I found working with my assistant coach, Kurt, to keep the girl season, that just doing a week, it's what we can do for a small team, and it works.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a, you know, it's a great strategy. Obviously, probably your goal then is to create, you know, big time drops heading into the, you know, regionals and sectionals and all that.
Yes. Yeah. So we have our conference meet on Friday, and then we, the following Saturday, are heading to Menominee for the Division II boys sectional.
Got it. And as we head into the postseason, you know, obviously lots of coaches want their players, or in your case, swimmers, to be performing their best at the end of the season. Do you feel like the team has, you know, you mentioned it a little bit there, but do you feel like this team has improved throughout the year and are kind of swimming their best as we head into the late stages?
Absolutely. They are. I'm seeing still some substantial time drops from the guys. I know Trey Morrison last night at practice had a breakthrough in his freestyle. We were doing some time sprints, and he realized that he can go a lot faster than what he's been putting in, so I'm expecting to see a good time drop out of him on Friday. Mm-hmm. One of my swimmers, Jack Amosia, he has been practicing really hard, and his 50 free time, I'm hoping to see a time drop, but he is going on vacation, so he won't be in Menominee, so I'm sad that we won't have him as part of our team for that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's part of coaching high school kids, right? There's sometimes you take the vacation and it's like, oh, it's right. It may be inopportune time, but
go and be with your family. Mm-hmm. You put in the work.
Exactly. Melissa Neiman joining us here on the Sports Q, Tomahawk Boys swimming coach, here for a few more minutes. And so let's get into the meet on Friday. So you're hosting the Great Northern Conference meet this weekend. It's on Friday. And what prep do you do as the host coach?
Oh, well, I can't say I've done too much prep work, but I have to give it to our athletic director, Scott. He has been huge in helping. I'm the middle school secretary, so I work 7 a.m. till 3:45. So he has been huge at getting everything ready, getting all the times from all the other teams put in and seating the events. And, yeah, he's been doing fantastic.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
All credit to Scott.
Yeah, right. Well, and I'm guessing that's just, you know, a lot of work to put together. You know, if you have all the teams coming to one location, it happens to be your location, but a lot of work goes into that.
It is, and we were talking the other day that this meet, being the boys, is much smaller compared to the girls' conference that we had this season. There are 22 less events.
Okay.
So this meet will be much faster than what we experienced in the girls' season. In the girls' season, we had 4 heats of the 500. In the boys' season, we have 1. So with the lower numbers, it'll go faster.
Right. And are the kids excited to host the event on Friday?
Oh, they're really excited. They do love to travel because their favorite thing is going out to eat afterwards. But they are excited to be swimming in their home pool and to have their best times.
So, and for those unfamiliar with how the meet works, tell us a little bit about how the meet works and scoring, et cetera.
Okay, yeah, so right now we have, I think, 4 or 5 teams. We have Rhinelander, Lakeland, who else? We have Anna Goshano. So they're all coming, and we do relays. If you take first place, you get 10 points. Second place is 8 points. Individuals is a little less numbers, so the better the place in the meet, the more points you get. And we all know coming in, Rhinelander has 15. Once they walk in the building, they are the conference champions. We can't, there's no way we can beat them.
Just with numbers.
It's not a possibility to beat Rhinelander. And we all know that, but we're just hoping to get our best times.
Mm-hmm, exactly, and continue to improve as you go into the postseason. Does your team have to perform a certain way to, you know, qualify for regionals and sectionals, or does everybody make it to regionals no matter what in Menominee?
Everybody makes it to the sectional meet.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then with this meet, you're only allowed so many entries. So if I have, not all my boys can swim 50 freestyle. Boy, they would love to swim just 50 freestyle and 100 freestyle, but you're only allowed so many of your swimmers in each event.
Okay.
So when we go on to sectionals, hey, if they all want to swim 50 freestyle, they can all swim 50 freestyle, and that's just what it is. Again, that's another meet that we know going into with our numbers that we can't win and that we're just going for our best times.
Absolutely, and just continue to improving. And so it's, you'd have to basically, you know, limit the amount of swimmers in each event. So is it like a specific, you know, 2 to each event, or is it like differed depending on which event?
2 to 3 in each event.
Okay.
Well, in my case, I'm lucky if I can get 1 or 2 in each event, but yeah, it's usually limited of 3.
Gotcha. Final question for you, Melissa. What's been, you know, a highlight or a moment so far this season that has been one of the most enjoyable moments as the coach this year?
Oh boy, I think just getting to know these guys. I have a very young team. I have 4 freshmen, and seeing what they have been putting in at practice compared to coming up from club, we are working much harder and they are not used to the intensity that high school swim brings. So seeing them grow in the pool and getting faster and dropping the times, I am all for it. And I'm also expecting to see big things out of Zach Hansey, and hopefully we can get him to state again this year in the 100 breast and the 200 IM.
Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic, and we'll keep you updated here on WJJQ.
Yes.
Melissa, really appreciate the time tonight, and good luck with the GNC meet on Friday.
Hey, thank you, and good job to the wrestlers last night. I just want to give a shout-out to them. That was a hard-fought battle, and I'm so proud of them. They should be proud, too.
Absolutely. A great shout-out, and it was a great match last night and fun to be a part of it. Melissa, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
That is Melissa Neiman, the head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchet Boys Swimming Team, joining us here on the Sports Q here tonight. And they have the GNC meet coming up on Friday. That's a 5 o'clock start if you want to go and watch there. And that is going to be at 5 o'clock here in Tomahawk. And that is the Great Northern Conference meet. Also, Friday night, Hatchet girls basketball team going to Medford. Opening tip at 7:15 on Friday. Hatchet JV2, JV and varsity boys basketball teams hosting Medford on Friday night. That's our next Hatchet sports broadcast. And that'll be 6:55 for North Adonis pregame show on Friday night. And Hatchet hockey team non-conference game at Ashland on Friday. Opening faceoff at 7. Those are the next high school sports. Just middle school action for tomorrow. 7th and 8th grade girls basketball teams hosting DC Everest at the high school gym. 7th grade game at 4, 8th grade game to follow. Middle school wrestling team is at Crandon for an invite beginning at 4:30 tomorrow. And then on Saturday, the Hatchet wrestlers back in action as they're competing in the Great Northern Conference meet at Mosinee High School. And we'll have all the action here on WJJQ. We'll have live reports throughout the day and more of the action later in the later rounds in the afternoon. Opening round, again, 10 a.m. live reports on WJJQ throughout the day. So we've got you covered here on WJJQ. It was a fantastic atmosphere last night in Medford for that Tomahawk-Medford duel. Just what an atmosphere, I'll tell you that much. It was really cool to be a part of. First time I had been to Medford and first time I had experienced the Tomahawk-Medford wrestling rivalry, and just came down to the end, came down to the very last match. And as she said, Tomahawk Hatchet wrestlers should be proud, no doubt about it. We'll wrap up the Sports Q next.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
As most of you know, Health in Motion has been providing amazing physical therapy services to the Tomahawk community for many years. Hi, I'm Matt Carrillo, a physical therapist assistant and certified personal trainer at Health in Motion, and I'm excited to announce that we are now offering personal training. I will be working with you one-on-one, regardless of your age or current fitness level, to create an individualized exercise program that is designed just for you. There are no long-term contracts. I have years of experience as a personal trainer, and I can help determine the safest and most effective exercises for you. Scheduling is flexible, and I'm offering a 15-minute complimentary consultation to answer all of your questions. Give us a call today and let me help you reach your fitness goals by keeping you moving.
Call 453-6650, online himwi.com.
So come on, choose Health in Motion for you.
This is Randy Plantenberg, your voice of reason for all matters financial. We understand the value of having a personalized long-term financial plan and investment strategy that's in line with a client's risk tolerance. Having the experience of navigating through many market declines in my 30-plus years, we find that oftentimes our investment strategy may differ from what's considered traditional. Utilizing both fundamental and technical analysis allows us to modify client portfolios, potentially minimizing downside risk in the next market event. This helps create less volatility and better outcome for our clients. If you're interested in working with an advisor who understands risk-adjusted returns, you'd like to take a closer look at the level of risk you're currently taking, give us a call at 453-0722 or visit our website at maineadvisor.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Hunter. Wrapping up the Sports Q here tonight. Saw this news come across. So it was rumored that Jim Harbaugh was going to, he's the coach of Michigan's football team. It was rumored that he was going to head to Minnesota for the Minnesota Vikings job. Well, according to Adam Schefter, Jim Harbaugh called Michigan to inform the school that despite interviewing with the Vikings today, he'll be returning to Michigan for the 2022 season. So, Jim Harbaugh not going to be the next coach of the Vikings. We'll see who the next coach of the Vikings is. It's yet to be determined. They're interviewing and they've lost some candidates, and he's one of them. So we shall see what happens. But Jim Harbaugh staying put in Michigan, not going to the NFL at this time. Coming up tonight, Badgers in Illinois, 8 o'clock. Hey, Marquette has a big game tonight. Marquette is ranked 24th in the country. They're playing the number 12-ranked Villanova Wildcats. That's at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee tonight. The Villanova Wildcats have won 9 of their last 10. Meanwhile, the Marquette Golden Eagles have played well as well. They had a 7-game winning streak snapped against Providence on Sunday, but otherwise have played well this year. That is a 9 o'clock tip-off on Fox Sports 1. So you have the Badgers in Illinois at 8 on Big Ten Network and Marquette and Villanova at 9 tonight. Bucks aren't in action all the way until Saturday. That's their next game at Portland. They're on a West Coast trip. At Portland, at the Clippers, at the Lakers, at the Suns, a whole bunch of them. And so that is going to be coming up, let's see, West Coast. So that'll be Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday coming up this next week. And then we will reconvene next Wednesday on the Sports Q to discuss all of it, as we do each and every Wednesday. Thanks so much to Bill Schmid, Melissa Neiman, Mitchell Speltz for joining me tonight on the Sports Q. Michael McGovern up next. And as always, stay positive.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join Hunter again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.